Mark chapter 12. I have a set of notes here, and I'm going to use them. But I don't want to preach an outline this morning. I want to preach a sincere message to the hearts of men and women. And I mean this. I mean this. If I've never preached a sincere message to the heart of men and women, may God allow me to do it today. There is a truth that God has revealed in this word. There is a truth that God has recorded in this word. And every soul on this earth needs to hear it. Every single soul needs to believe this and needs to bow to this. How privileged we are. Our Lord told us this truth through the simplicity of parables. Aren't you so glad that's how He chose to speak with us and teach us? Through the simplicity of parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. Now let's see what our Lord has to say right here. Mark 12, verse 1. And He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. This man owned a piece of property and he planted a vineyard. He's the one who planted the vineyard. And then he hired some servants to take care of the vineyard. All right. Now hold your place right here. We're going to come right back and go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, verse 1 says, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. It was God's heaven, and it was God's earth. He made them, He owned them. Right? Verse 8 says, And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. God planted the garden. It was God's garden. Verse 15 says, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. All right, now go with me back to our text. Verse 1 in Mark 12 says, And He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season He sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught that servant and beat him and sent him away empty. And again He sent unto them another servant And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. This parable is about God and man. That's what it's about. God and man. This parable is about God's right. It's about God's ownership. It's about God's lordship. This is all God's. It all belongs to Him. So do we. This parable is about the sin of His servants against Him. That's what it's about. This parable is about the goodness and the fairness of the Master. The indescribable goodness and fairness. God put Adam in a beautiful garden. Beautiful garden. He said, of every tree in this garden, you may freely eat. But one, right? Not this one. This is my commandment. And the servants of God willingly, and that is the key word. That's the key word. And if we were all honest with ourselves, if we were honest with our hearts, we would say, yeah, that's the truth. His servants willingly sinned against Him. Willingly. Now, every man or woman after Adam can say, that is not fair. I was not there. And physically speaking, that's right. That's right. I was not there. I was not physically there. That's true. But every man or woman since Adam and Eve has done the exact same thing Adam and Eve did. The exact same thing. God delivered Israel out of Egypt. And He gave them 10 commandments, didn't He? You know what the first commandment is? Out of those 10 commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you know what the children of Israel were doing while Moses was up on that mountain receiving the 10 commandments? You know what they were doing? They were melting all their gold down so they could make a golden calf to fall down before it and worship it. While he was up there receiving the 10 commandments. The Lord was so good to Israel. He was so good to His people. God in mercy and in kindness, He sent them prophets. He didn't have to do that, did He? He did not have to send them preachers. He did not have to send them messengers to tell them the truth. But you know what they said? We're sick and tired of them. We're tired. We don't want them anymore. I'm tired of your prophets. What they said is, we want our own king. We're sick and tired of Samuel. Give us Saul. Isn't that what they said? God in mercy kept sending them prophets. We have all of these Old Testament prophets. He sent Isaiah. He sent Jeremiah. He sent Ezekiel. He sent Daniel. They rejected every single one of them. Every single one of them. Then God in mercy sent one last servant. All right, one last servant. He cried, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth." Isn't that what he said? He shall grow up before me as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, and he is going to have compassion on those wicked sinners. Isn't that amazing? He's going to have compassion on those wicked sinners. We know the verse well. We quote it all the time. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Isn't that right? Let me show you a few other verses. All right. These verses are so amazing. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion on them. Knowing man, you know, since Adam, man has not changed. This good and holy and right God. How could he look on man and be moved with compassion when man is so at enmity against God? But he did. He was moved with compassion on him. Look with me at Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 41. Let's see if we can enter into this. Luke 19, 41. When he was come near to Jerusalem, he was coming into Jerusalem. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. You know, we have that verse of scripture, Jesus wept over Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and he groaned within himself. But he looked at the city of Jerusalem. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. He said, if you had known. Isn't that amazing? If you had only known, if you only knew what was in store for you. He wept over it. If you only knew what was in store for you. How can you describe the judgment of God? How could you enter into the judgment of God? If you only knew what was waiting. If you only knew what was immediately after you cross over. If you only knew. Look at Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 34 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets. I sent you prophets and you killed them. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. You would not. For God so loved this world, he sent his only begotten Son. And what did man do with him? What did man do with him? Go with me back to our text in Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verse 6 says, having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. He said, while he was hanging there, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They said, crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have that man reign over us. That's what this flesh says. I don't want to hear it. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. I'm tired of you telling me about a man who's going to judge me. Leave me alone. We hate him. We hate him. Quit sending prophets. Quit telling us about him. We hate him. I hate him. I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to hear about his death. I don't want to hear about his righteousness. I don't want to hear about his mercy. I don't want to hear about his truth. I don't want to hear about his grace. I don't want to hear about his love. Sure don't want to hear about his election. I hate him. Kill him. How does that apply to us? How does that apply to us? We can argue the fact that whenever they brought him to that cross, we were not there. When Adam sinned, we were not there. Not physically like we are right now. When they brought him to that cross, we were not there. That's true. Not physically like we are right now. But every time we deny his deity, every time we do not believe this is God Almighty, we call him a liar, don't we? And we hate him. Every time we don't bow, every time we acknowledge to him, you're not our king. You're not our king. You don't reign over me. We hate him. Kill him. Kill. I got better things than him. Every time we say that his blood was not enough, every single time, every time we say, I must add something to this. Yes, Christ died, but every single time we deny his accomplishment. Every time. We deny who he is. We deny what he has done. And in our hearts, we have crucified him. Now, verse 9 says, what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? What do servants like that deserve? What do they deserve? What would be fair? What would be just and right in dealing with them? Verse 9, he goes on to say, he will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. God is telling us, that is exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't want to preach an outline this morning. Let me tell you what the gospel outline is. Let me tell you what grace is. Man fell in sin. Christ redeemed him by his blood, and God's Spirit regenerated him back to the Father. I'm not interested in preaching an outline this morning. We've sinned against God. We're about to meet him. And he says right here, what he's going to do to us. This is what he will do to us. I've never attended a funeral where the person dead didn't go to heaven. Never. Not one time. I don't see how anybody could be in hell. Everybody's in a better place. I've never attended a funeral where the person went to hell. We're blind. We are blind. We can Google the statistics, how often men go meet God. Every second of every day, we're blind. We're going to meet God, and He is not like we think He is. He has clearly declared to us what He is going to do. Very, very clearly. Now, God's messengers never beg men and women to do anything. Never. God's message is not a negotiation. It is a declaration. In that declaration, God's messengers are not begging. They are not begging. But the Scripture does use the word pleading. Pleading to God. Pleading to God. Pleading to God. I'm not pleading to you and I'm not pleading to me. I'm pleading to God. Job said, as a man pleads for his neighbor. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, I started this by saying, I don't want to preach an outline. I don't want to preach an outline. I want to preach a sincere message to the hearts of every one of us in this room. Old and young. From the oldest to the youngest. And right now, I plead to God on behalf of us. As a man pleads for his neighbor. And here's why. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. The lamb that was slain has become the lion of the tribe of Judah. The judged has become the judge. And vengeance is His. He will repay. In this parable, though, He has given us the absolute truth of one hope. I do mean one. There is one hope. It would crush me. It would crush me. We know about our brother who passed away in Rocky Mount this week, and they had a funeral. A man left the earth, entered into eternity. Into glory. And that man had such a good hope. And it was a happy funeral. But it would crush me to find out that one soul in this room left this earth without this one hope. Our Lord gave it to us in Matthew's account of this story. Go with me over to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Men stand up and they believe they're telling souls the truth. Oh, we heard the truth today. Here's the truth. Here is the truth. This chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone on which every stone is built, has been rejected by every single one of us, starting with the preacher of this church. He has been rejected by the flesh of every single one of us. Because of that, his judgment and his wrath is going to fall on every single soul and grind him to powder. Every single soul. But this is his promise. This is his promise. Every soul that falls on this stone right now, the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. We're not promised tomorrow. Every soul that falls on this stone falls on the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging the sin against him, begging him for mercy. Lord, please be merciful to me. Every soul who falls down before him is going to be broken. He said that hard, hateful heart against the Son of God. I don't hate God. God says we do. We just called him a liar. But he said every hard, hateful heart, I'll break it. The greatest thing that could ever happen to us is if God would break us. If God would break us. He said, I'll break it. I will cause it to cry out for forgiveness. I mean gut-wrenchingly. Cry out for forgiveness. I'll cause it to be truly sorry over the sin it has committed. And a broken and a contrite heart, he said, I will hear. I'll answer, and I'll have mercy on it. I will take out that heart of stone, and I'll put in a heart of flesh. I'll put a heart in there that loves God. I'll put a heart in there that loves His Word. I'll put a heart in there that loves His messengers. The messenger that brings the Word. But most of all, I'll put a heart in there that loves His Son. That soul will bring forth fruit unto God. That's what I'll do. Every soul who falls on Christ for mercy. Now, I don't know how much time we have left in this vineyard that we call the earth. I don't know how much time we have left. I really don't. A day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. The Lord created everything in 6 days. On the seventh, He said, it's done. He made Adam 6,000 years ago. We're in the morning of the seventh. I don't know. People can read into all that stuff they want to. These last days, men will be scoffers and mockers. Boy, is that not the case? I don't know how many more days we have left in the vineyard that we call earth before the husbandman comes back. I don't have any idea. But here's what I want to say to every single one of us. Here's what I want to say to myself, to my wife, my children, every one of us in this room. Before He comes back, we need to kiss the Son lest He be angry. We need to fall on our chief cornerstone and beg Him for mercy. Every soul who does is going to find it. Every soul who does. Fall on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know what that means, ask Him. Lord, I hear You say that I must be in Christ. I don't even know what that means. Nicodemus said, can a man enter his mother's womb the second time? How do you get in Christ? Ask Him. How can I be in Christ? Ask Him. How do I fall on the chief cornerstone? I don't even know what that means. But I believe He is the chief cornerstone. And I also believe that the stone that everyone rejected has become head of the corner. How do I fall on You? What does that mean? Cause me to fall. Lord, would You lay hold of me and pick me up and throw me on that stone? Break me. Ask Him. Ask Him, every soul here. I'm pleading to God on our behalf. Fall on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's all stand together.